The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Boker Tov. I always feel that I want to say something so profound after that report. But I think, you know, I think positive things is always good. And I wanted to start just with something kind of lighthearted and positive, but quite serious, which is the fact that Israeli students won their first gold medal in more than 10 years at the International Chemistry Olympiads this year. Not only a gold medal, but also two silver medals and a bronze medal. All members of the Israeli team actually won medals. This is a team that was trained at the Technion. It included four students, three Jewish students, and an Arab student from Tiber. And these days, we don't say the Olympiad was held in or at. We say it was organized by, because it's obvious that it was held on Zoom, right? I mean, we're in the kind of era now where we don't go anywhere for these things. But this was actually organized by Turkey, somewhat ironically. Israeli students have apparently participated in the chemistry Olympiads now since 2006. So, yeah, a good achievement. And, of course, the Ministry of Education have jumped up to say, you know, what a great achievement for Israeli education. I'm not quite sure that I would really jump to such a huge conclusion, but this is certainly a great achievement and we shouldn't detract from that.
Absolutely, absolutely not. The IDF attacked targets in Syria last night in retaliation for attempted terror attack along Israeli border with Syria on Sunday night. So we spoke briefly about this, but Israel now seems to have retaliated.
Yeah, so we did talk about this yesterday, the fact that there was this attempted terror attack along the Syrian border. And in fact, yesterday there were pictures published in the newspaper of like bags that were found containing explosive devices along that border with Israel. And then last night there were Syrian government reports that came out suggesting that there were explosions and that there was an attack from the air, that Syria anti-air defense systems had been activated. We understand that the Israeli Air Force used fighter jets and helicopters in carrying out these strikes, that included strikes on lookout points and intelligence gathering mechanisms, anti-aircraft weapons and other means of control command in the Syrian government military bases. Syrian government forces seem to have been the main target for this particular attack. And of course, the IDF came out saying that they hold the Syrian regime responsible for anything that might go on along the border between Israel and Syria. We do know that there are a number of different renegade groups that are operating in that area of southern Syria. And we do know that Iranian forces are very much active in that area of southern Syria, alongside, of course, Hezbollah, which is an arm of the Iranian military regime. But we, on this particular occasion, it seems as if though the Syrian government forces were really the main responsibility, remain target, at least, for the attacks that were carried out by Israel. And there was absolutely no doubt yesterday that this was an attack carried out by the Israeli Air Force, because, of course, the IDF came out immediately saying it was us, we are responsible, and this was a retaliation. So this is a little different from those other attacks that we see from time to time that are carried out in Syria that go without any kind of comment, that there are speculations about the fact that it might be the Israeli Air Force, but of course no confirmation of that from any source at all. Last night is entirely different. The Israeli government did want the Syrian regime to know that attacks of the sort that we saw on Sunday night will not be tolerated along the Israeli border.
Absolutely, a very, very strong message indeed. The world's largest cargo plane was in Israel yesterday, and that was to load up two Iron Dome batteries for the U.S. Army. So what does the U.S. Army plan to do with Iron Dome?
I really like this whole story because, of course, Ben-Gurion Airport has been something of a ghost town since the outbreak of corona. So it was very nice to see this very important aircraft arriving yesterday at Ben-Gurion, the world's largest cargo plane. It's actually a Russian-built plane, would you believe, being operated by the American military. I think I find that quite fascinating. An Antonov AN-225 which carried apparently these huge American military Oshkosh trucks. The aircraft itself has got six engines and apparently has got 30 wheels, wingspan of 290 feet, an amazing aircraft, and is going to have to make two stops when it returns to America from Israel, one apparently in France and one in Scotland, refueling stops before it crosses the Atlantic. It has a range of about 4,500 kilometers once it's fully loaded. But of course, the important thing is the Iron Dome batteries that have been loaded onto this Antonov aircraft for use by the American military. We're told that the American military has quite a wide range of what they call THAAD missiles. These are basically the American military anti-aircraft systems that they have in place, and that they have a certain gap for short range interception missiles, which is exactly the area that Iron Dome fills. It fills that particular gap. And so the American military, we're told, have bought these two Iron Dome batteries, which include a whole range of interceptors and launchers, rocket launchers, and also sensors to be able to pick up the incoming missiles. So it's a whole range to control centers. It's massive amounts of equipment that the American military have bought. And they reckon that it's going to be used in Europe, which I found quite fascinating, that this is where they apparently want to do it. And this is a precursor to the Americans actually setting up a facility to produce Iron Dome in America. So that seems to be the next stage, in conjunction with Rafael, of course, who are the producers of this. But apparently they're going to be setting up some sort of a manufacturing facility before the year end to produce Iron Dome in America.
Incredible. Absolutely unbelievable. All right, to tell us about Israel's Corona cabinet.
Well, the Corona cabinet met yesterday and was once again unable to agree on what we do next, what's going on. There is a certain view that suggests that we are kind of starting to plateau now in our second wave. And I'm increasingly of the view that Israel has just been a very, very early adopter in this whole second wave thing, because there are such huge warnings that we see coming out across Europe and elsewhere around the world about what the nature of the second wave is going to be. Israel has looked really poor over the last month to 6 weeks, as we've had to grapple with this massive second wave, which has been even greater than the first wave. And everybody said, well, we did so well initially, now we've really lost it all. But I think that the rest of the world seems to be waiting for this to happen to them. And it's going to be interesting to see how that transpires. But yesterday, the Corona cabinet was really unable to agree on what next steps are. There is a strong view which says we should go into a total lockdown during the second half of August. There is another view which says we need to really try and keep things opening up and continue to open up as much as possible. We know that Israel's new Corona Commissioner, Roni Gamzu, is very much of the opinion that we need to open up as much as we can, as well as keeping things tightly controlled, but not go into a full lockdown. The other interesting thing that was discussed was the fact that there are something like 21,000 students who want to come to Israel during the course of 2021 to study here, whether they want to come to universities or come to other programs, come to yeshivas. Something like 21,000 students are already lining up to come to Israel for various programs. And of course, the Corona cabinet had to consider this particular matter and how we are going to deal with that, because all of these students will need to go into quarantine before they can join their various programs. The programs have to be approved by the Ministry of Health, and the program organizers will need to agree that all of these students go into quarantine of up to six students together in a pod during that quarantine period. Only approved institutions will be allowed to have students from abroad coming in. So there's some very, very strict controls that are being placed around this. At least that seems to have been agreed. But as we understand it, the Corona cabinet will need to meet again, I think, tomorrow in order to determine exactly what they're going to be doing moving forward. But there is apparently a very, very strong possibility, as things stand at the moment, that we could go into another quite serious lockdown. Of course, the issue of numbers, the number of tests that are being conducted, the number of people who have died, unfortunately, that's now approaching 550 people all in all from the beginning of the pandemic have died in Israel so far. The number of people who are seriously ill, apparently there are approximately 100 people in hospital who are being intubated. The hospitals have been inundated in the second wave, but seem to be holding up, even though at one stage there was a talk about the fact that there were more than 300 patients in serious condition and that the hospitals were reaching their limits. What's interesting, and I've seen discussed, is the fact that because of the fact that we've been so cautious in wearing masks and kept our social distancing, that there's been a significant decrease in the number of other illnesses, other viruses that have been reported outside of corona, that has also been an interesting situation and helped to relieve our medical facilities a great deal.
Yeah, here we've barely had, and of course we're in the middle of winter or heading towards the end of winter, and we've barely had a flu season for that reason.
Right.
We just haven't, because people aren't transmitting that virus and traveling up and down.
Exactly. So there is a certain expectation as we head towards our winter season as to what that might be. But we shouldn't underestimate the amount of pressure that has been placed on our medical facilities over this COVID-19 story. They've been holding up pretty well. They've been doing a fantastic job. But, the idea is not to overload them and to do whatever we can, in fact, to try to avoid that.
Absolutely. And finally, Israeli security forces are considering purchasing an anti-drone vest that is being manufactured by an Israeli company. What is an anti-drone vest?
I just love this story, right? An anti-drone vest is apparently something that can be worn by a soldier or a security person. Apparently, it weighs 1.5 kilograms, and the device, the vest is called a device. I don't know why, because I think a device doesn't sound like something that you wear. But it's called a device, and it includes a drone detector, and it includes an anti-drone jammer, whereby the operator can determine whether to use this anti-drone jammer if they're notified by the system of some sort of a drone in the vicinity. Now, I mean, this is just kind of, the next generation of warfare. We've spoken a lot about the use of drones, and they are very much in common use, not only for the purpose of surveillance, but these days, drones can actually carry missiles. They can actually be used to fire missiles. And I think that that's where things are becoming a little bit more serious. Up until now, we have seen equipment deployed to protect areas, like on a building or something like that, which could potentially detect a drone in the area and could jam the signal that the drone has been receiving from its operator in order to effectively disable that drone and therefore not allow it to come within a certain vicinity. The things that come to mind are like airports. You wouldn't want drones to encroach upon airspace within the airport vicinity. So it seems to be quite common these days to deploy these anti-drone devices in an airport area to prevent drones from entering that particular airspace. Now you've got this anti-drone vest, which you can walk around with because it only weighs 1.5 kilometers, although 1.5 kilograms, even though it looks something like not quite the style that you would necessarily want to wear. It looks quite heavy going. And this apparently would protect you as an individual and the people around you from any threat from drones. It comes at the very, very small price of $50,000 per vest. It's being manufactured by an Israeli company called Skylock. And it has already apparently been sold to the U.S. Army and to NATO forces. And now the Israeli security forces are also considering buying these vests. This is now where the world has finally got to.
Unbelievable that this is now become a thing. It's just when you look at it and you just absolutely wonder. Because you couldn't imagine a couple of years ago.
No, absolutely not. I guess that it could be used, like, for example, when people are doing personal protection of important people, I don't know, like, you know, the prime minister or the president, certainly, you know, security detail, they might wish to have an anti-drone vest around to prevent drones from coming from, you know, from coming within that certain vicinity of where that individual is. And you want it to be moving around with that person and not simply located in a stationary place. So who knows, you know, we might see this become something of a fashion item.
Yeah, one of our listeners saying, do you think there'll be a smart Shabbos version?
Who knows? Everything's possible.
Absolutely. Time is 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, thank you. As always, we'll catch you tomorrow, same time, same place.